Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat of peace.
War is a very foreign concept to me. I've never served in the army. I've never been to a war zone. I've traveled to Israel 7 times, however. And I attended a similar program to IST when I was 16. But in 2005, I returned to Israel as an adult. I was working for a bank in Cleveland, Ohio at the time. And the day before I left, a colleague asked me if I was going to bring a gas mask or a bulletproof vest with me on my trip. "Aren't you nervous?" he asked. I told him that I didn't need to worry. Yes, there was some fighting going on, but I was going to Tel Aviv, a peaceful Mediterranean beach city, a city that I love. In fact, it's my favorite place on earth. I lived in that oasis on the sea for 3 months in 2007. I played beach volleyball. I learned and practiced my Hebrew at every moment, and I got to experience some amazing nightlife. Every time that I return to Israel, every year since 2005, I make sure to sit on the boardwalk and I watch the sunset over the Mediterranean Sea. For me, that is the taste of a world to come. But living in Tel Aviv in 2007 meant that as I sat on the sandy white beach and watched the sunset over the Mediterranean, Hamas was forcefully taking control of Gaza after an Israeli withdrawal. The same Hamas classified as a terrorist organization by the US, Israel, France, and others. I remember talking to my parents over Skype and reassuring them, "Don't worry, Tel Aviv is away from any danger." Since that moment, thousands of rockets have been sent from inside of Gaza to Israel, usually landing near the southern city of Sderot. We don't read about these rockets every day in the papers. They just happen with frightening regularity. But yesterday, the air raid siren went off in Tel Aviv for the first time since 1991 as a rocket was sent from Gaza in the direction of Tel Aviv, sending thousands of people into shelters. When I lived there in 2007, I didn't even know where my shelter was. Then as a rabbinical student in the fall of 2002 to spring of 2008, I spent a lot of time in our bomb shelter at HUC, one of the most beautiful campuses you will ever see. Because the bomb shelter was our gym. And I remember when I was lifting weights one afternoon, and suddenly the power went out for just a moment and the room went completely dark. I felt very alone, even though I knew my friends were eating lunch just on the other side of the wall. I can't imagine having to go into that bomb shelter and seal up myself and others, thinking that an actual bomb could be falling from the sky. And this morning, for the first time since 1970, rockets were fired at Jerusalem, thankfully unsuccessfully, but yet the sirens still wailed, and people hurried into their bomb shelters not knowing what would happen. My friend's Facebook post described people praying in bomb shelters for their peace and their safety. Tonight we pray and we celebrate Shabbat with our wonderful community, with song and with loved ones. We celebrate with people, with families, with parents. And while this is happening, families and parents and children are huddled in bomb shelters praying as well, celebrating Shabbat. I know my friends in Jerusalem have emerged from the shelters shortly after the all clear. One friend of mine who's a rabbinical student was glad to emerge because tonight was make your own pizza night. Life goes on, he says. Meanwhile, people in both Sderot, Holon, and Gaza City remain huddled inside bomb shelters praying for peace. People, not just Israelis and Palestinians, but people, individuals with hopes and dreams. We built the state of Israel based upon a hope and a 2,000-year-old dream to one day return to the land of Zion and have a state of our own. We sing the words of Hatikva and declare that having a Jewish homeland is no longer a dream. We are a free people in our own land. Every day, people around the world express their feelings that the state of Israel should not exist. that we have no right to have our own Jewish state. These threats come in the form of words, of anti-Semitic remarks, of graffiti, of co-op boycotts, and by a non-stop barrage of rockets that have been falling with frightening regularity since the year 2000. 12,000 rockets. Today we again find ourselves confronting an escalating war between Israel and the terrorist organization Hamas. The last several years, since 2008, after Operation Cast Lead, Israel has been patient. And occasionally, the Israeli Defense Force, the IDF, responds with targeted attacks against those shooting the missiles. But it's hard to take out those sites when they are on the rooftops of apartment complexes, when regular, ordinary people just hoping to have a good day are living above stores of rockets. So Israel waits until those living in the south can take no more. As the rocket fire increased, Israel reacted and assassinated one of the top Hamas military commanders, responsible for the kidnapping of Gilad Shalit. We do not celebrate his death. We do not celebrate the death of the other 12 Palestinians killed so far, because our Jewish tradition teaches that we are a people that never celebrate the death or hardship of others. During the Pesach Seder, we even temper our enthusiasm because we acknowledge that so many Egyptians, while pursuing us, drowned in the Sea of Reeds. We mourn all deaths, along with the three Israelis that were killed in their apartments by Palestinian rockets. Friends, there will be no winner of this war. We can only hope that everyone will one day live in a land of peace, and that hope can return where it has vanished. I've never been to Gaza, but I have been to the West Bank. And I attended a beer festival in Taipei. And most people think, a beer festival in the West Bank? A few weeks ago, NPR finally profiled this festival, and I felt so cool, because I had been to something 5 years before NPR knew about it. And I can tell you, there was singing and dancing, and I was included in the singing and dancing. Not all Palestinians want Israel to be destroyed. Most Palestinians are moderates, like you and me, and all they want is to give their children the same thing we want, a better world than they have. They want to have a beer after a long day of work. They want to have a regular day. They want to pray for peace, just like you, me, and most Israelis. But after reading so many news articles year after year, we might ask ourselves, why support Israel? The media bombards us with Israel's problems of religious liberty, of political feuds, and problems of equality. But there are plenty other times that we can talk about that. Tonight, we must put Israel's problems aside and stand united in support of Israel's simple right to exist, to try as hard as possible to protect all human life while stopping the torrent of rockets that threaten civilian lives. We stand up for Israel because we have hope, because it's the only place in the world where we can be sure that we are free from anti-Semitism, because Israel is our land, a place where we can always go to feel free as Jews, to express our religion without fear of oppression or anti-Semitism that continues to pervade our society every day. Even as we express our love for Israel, we might criticize her because we want her to be the very best representation of our collective Jewish values, an Or LeGoyim, a light to the nations. And I want Israel to fulfill the prophecy that Jews are a light unto the nations. Judaism teaches us to love our neighbor and the stranger as ourselves. And I hope that we will all continue to work for a day that we can call Israel perfect. But we can't criticize a country that doesn't exist. And at times like this, when Israel's existence is under siege, when 75,000 young adults in their late teens and 20s have gone off and are gearing up for war as we speak, we must unify our voices in support of Israel's right to exist and defend herself. Tonight in our Torah portion, Isaac finally conceived with Rebecca after many, many years of trying. This offers him hope, but anguish immediately ensues, and her pregnancy was very difficult. Rebecca cries out, "Why is this so?" And God speaks to Rebecca and offers her the notion that she isn't just giving birth to two people, to twins, but that two nations are struggling inside of her. And our portion continues to explain that the beginning of these two nations, Jacob and Esau, fight. And eventually Jacob has to run away from his brother Esau. Just like the situation in Israel, our Torah portion leaves us with a feeling of despair and confused about the future of the Israelites, of our family, of two nations who are struggling within a womb. We must continue to have hope. Hope is the only thing that can sustain us. The hope that Israel will soon have peace within her borders for all of the inhabitants. Just as Jacob, a few portions later, will reconcile with tears in his eyes as he hugs his brother Esau. I invite anybody, is there anybody in the room who is an Israeli, who has Israeli citizenship? I invite anybody who has been to Israel to stand in support and solidarity with Israel. I invite anybody who knows somebody who is in Israel to rise in support of Israel. I invite anybody who has ever sung the words of Hatikvah to stand as you are able and rise in support of Israel. And finally, I invite all of us to stand and rise as we together embrace in a prayer for Israel. Grant peace soon to Israel. Be a shield and protector of all human life. Ensure that we can have a land that we can call our own and continue to be a shining light, a light of hope. Ken yehi ratzon, may it be God's will. Hatikvah can be found on page 374.
Leave.